Okay, folks. My name is Eric Valm. I'm with Christ Only Ministries. I believe this is my 15th podcast. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening. It's Tuesday, and I usually do my podcast on Sundays, but it was Memorial Day weekend, and I just couldn't get geared up and enough, and I had company, and so I decided to wait till Tuesday where I could gather my thoughts a little better. And speaking of Memorial Day, I guess the only family I have that got killed in a war was my uncle, Uncle Ralph, in World War II. He got killed in Saint-Lô in France, and I think it was 1942. So obviously I never knew him, but so, you know, that's pretty much the extent of my family's misfortune in losing someone in war. And I know it affected my mom deeply, and you know, it was hard for her to even talk about it. She loved her little brother. But you know, I mean, I was thinking about Memorial Day, and you know, it's very sad, you know, that that wars have to be waged, and that we have to act like this, and that so many young men and women have to give up their lives for the sake of the nation. And you know, I hope that you know, God redeems that sacrifice. I don't know the full theology behind you know, giving up one's life for one's country, but I know there's something that God can work with there. And I pray that he does, and because it's a terrible sacrifice, and not only for the soldier himself, but the entire family that he leaves behind, you know, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, wives and children, and it's a very sad state of affair. But you know, the hope is, and the promise is that all this warfare and hatred is an item of an unfortunate fact of life in this age, and in the eternal age to come, it will not be. Men will no longer wage war against one another. Men will no longer be entertained by their thoughts of war. And but rather we will be complete and satisfied in God. So we look forward to that day, and you know, you'll also think about the generations of children unborn. For every soldier, every woman, and every boy that lost their lives, it's not just them, but it's them never having a family, never bringing forth children. So it's generations that get wiped out. So it is sad, and seems to be a necessary ingredient of national security. You know, I just don't really see any way around it. You know, there's just aggressive people out there, and you have to protect what you've got. Otherwise, you won't have it. And freedom will not be a word that you can use to define yourself and your country. So anyhow, I just thought I'd give a word about Memorial Day. Before we get into this word, let's pray and lift it up to God our Father through His Son Jesus, and ask Him for a blessing and that it will be pleasing to Him. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for all things, and we thank You for Your many blessings, and for the blessings that we see and recognize And the blessings that we don't see and that we don't recognize, but we know that you pour them out and we just take them for granted. You know, the universe acts in a predictable and consistent way, and even that is a blessing. So there's just so many of those things that that we don't even know that is performed through your power and by your faith and to sustain us here and to keep us here and to and as an expression of your love towards your creation. So, Father, I just ask that you would bless these words that I am about to speak, that they would not be my words of wisdom, Lord, but as Jesus says, I speak not my words, but I speak the words that the Father has given me. And that's what I pray, Lord, that these words would be words that you have given me and not that words that I've conjured up and present, but as words that you have given me, words of wisdom and words of hope and words of faith. And Father, we just pray that these words and these thoughts would be that I express and that are heard would be pleasing to you and pleasing to your soul and pleasing to your ear. And Father, that it would help edify the church, unify us, enlighten us, encourage us, strengthen us, and mold us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, which is your ultimate goal. And so, Father, we just love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for all things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen. So when you talk about man's state of being, his psychological state, his mental state, his spiritual state, you really can't explain it or detail it or define it unless you throw in anxiety. Anxiety seems to be a universal human condition. I think that you know that it's just a fact of life. Men and women are, and children are, we're anxious. We fear for the future. We fear unknown things that may or may not happen. We're always looking into the future and saying, what if, what if, what if, and can I handle it, and what if this, and what if that, you know, and when you talk about anxiety, psychologists and psychiatrists are always using that word. And it's just a integral part of the human existence, and it's something that we all want to avoid. You know, that uneasiness, that fear of unseen events, or a general feeling of emotional unease. We all want to feel just completely at ease of where we are and who we are and what we're doing, and just that relaxed feeling of just contentment. And we all want to feel that, and we all search and look for it, and we all think of anxiety as an unpleasant fact, an unpleasant intruder into every corner of our existence. You know, we're having a good time at a party or at wherever, or on our vacation, and all of a sudden, you know, thoughts come in. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I wonder if everything's okay at the house. I wonder if if my plane trip home will be on time. I wonder if this, and I wonder, you know, and it just subtracts from the whole experience, and the whole experience of life itself, and that anxiousness that we all feel about one thing or about another. And a lot of times we can't even identify what we're anxious about. It's just a feeling of unease that just kind of sits on us and sits on our, you know, and sits on our shoulders, and it just you know, we carry it around everywhere we go. And and of course, you know, a lot of us will blame it on the fast-paced nature of modern life, and or you know, seeking careers of meaningful, you know, tasks or, you know, just things that happen to us, divorce, you know, the anxiety of divorce, the anxiety of marriage, the things that could happen to us through misfortune or crime. We worry about social disintegration. We worry about terrorism. We worry about our own health. We worry about the health of others. We worry about the health of our children. We worry about our own deaths, our own mortality. We worry about the deaths of our friends and our children and our parents, and we worry about this and we worry about that, and it's just a never-ending worry. It's just a never-ending list of things that bring anxiety into our lives. So what's developed is a whole psychological field, a whole psychiatric field that tries to help people deal with it. You know, trying to find ways to settle yourself, trying to find ways to come to terms with it, to relax into your existence, to you know, understand what things are important, what things aren't, and then not only is this psychiatric field like that, but also psychiatry has gotten into you know, the various anti-anxiety medications. What do we got? Prozac, we got Xanax, Paxil, Zoloft. And these are all medications intended to sort of ease the anxiety of modern life and to help us glide through our lives as effortlessly and as loosely and joyfully as possible. And that our feelings of anxiety and our feelings of alienation or our feelings of you know, not belonging, or our feelings of being in the wrong spot, or our feelings of being inadequate, or whatever feelings that haunt us, you know, that we could lessen them through somehow through psychiatric intervention or through drugs. And you know, I'm not knocking these drugs or psychiatric intervention, because I know that you know, anxiety and things of this nature can really get into some dangerous territory for people mentally and psychologically, and can be very, very disabling and very, very dangerous. And so I'm not knocking it. There are people out there who just, you know, the best route that they can take at that moment is through you know, therapy or through you know, these anti-anxiety drugs. So I'm not trying to say anything about that. So let's not get that mistaken notion. But anyhow, so I'm just saying that there's a whole field you know, you read all these self-help books, go to the library, and everything's about, you know, relaxing and how to take that monkey of anxiety and that feeling of alienation and off your back, and how to, you know, relax into it. I mean, it goes right. I mean, I think that's a very nature of you know, your Stoic philosophies, your Epicurean philosophies of the Greeks, and the yoga philosophy and the yoga exercises is a way to overcome that feeling of that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of just, you know, uneasiness, and it's they're all ways to deal with it. But you know, I want to take another and people look at it as a problem, and you can look at it like that for sure. And it is a problem, and it can be a dangerous problem at times for some people. But I want to look at anxiety and that general feeling of uneasiness and that feeling of alienation and not quite, you know, you're not quite feeling at home, or you're not quite feeling part of. I want to take a different approach and then say that it's not all a bad thing. And our anxiety might be God speaking a word to us. It might be trying to tell us something about our spiritual condition. And it's something that our anxiety might be something worth listening to and not trying to like suppress it through this method or that method. And I mean, of course, you got to control it, but you might want to just take a moment and try to listen to your anxiety and those feelings of alienation and all that, and wonder, okay, why is it that we all have that feeling? What's at the core of this? Why is it a universal human condition? And so this unease and this worry and this anxiety, for me, it's an indication, and it's a very essential fact of our being. Basically, because we're a spiritual animal without a home. We're an animal that was made in the image of God, who breathed life into us, and we're an animal that has fallen away from God, and now now there's this feeling of we don't have a home because we really don't belong. We know we don't belong here. You know, we have this feeling that Earth really isn't our home. But we don't know where our home is. We don't know what we're looking for. We don't know what we're striving for. We know we want something different. We want something better, but we don't know how to get there. We don't even know what it is that we want. We have general ideas where we don't want war, and we want peace, and we want this, and we want that. But that alienation comes from, that feeling of alienation comes from the fact that we are, in fact, alienated, and it is that alienation from what we were intended to be, and what we are, and what we, you know, should have been, and that alien that leads to anxiety. And I there's only so much you can do for it, because it's a fact of life. And to say that you can completely relax into this world, I don't know. I think you would have to be a psychopath. But even a psychopath has his own obsessions and compulsions that trouble him, so he has to act them out. So there can't be that perfect peace. I don't think that people are always striving for. Not on this side of the divide. We're not at home on this earth as an animal species. And if you look at animals, if their basic needs are met, if they have friendship, if they have food, if they have water, if they have enough land to give them a feeling of physical freedom, they don't experience that type of anxiety, because this earth is their home. This is where they belong. They were raised up from the dust of the earth, and the earth is their home. So as long as those conditions are met, they don't feel that anxiety. They don't feel that alienation, because there is no alienation there. They are creatures of the earth, God bless them. And they're really, for the most part, untroubled by sin. They're completely unaware of it. They're completely innocent of it. And through man's sin, they suffer because of man's sin. They suffer because of our misdoings and misdeeds. But, you know, it's funny how, you know, animals are completely innocent of evil, for the most part. I guess, I don't know, maybe you can find examples where an animal was purposely malicious. I don't know. But for the most part, it always strikes me as like we say, oh, he's such a good dog, and he's such a loyal fellow, and he's just got a pure heart of gold, you know. And to his owner and to his little tribe there, he probably is. But you know, this owner of his, You know, he could be a complete psychopath and a cannibal who's going out and raping and murdering somebody every night and bringing their body home and doing a Hannibal Lecter thing. You know, but the animal, you know, the animal just will continue to love that owner as long as that owner treats it well. You know, because he's complete. He doesn't see any of that, and none of that bothers him. So the idea of sin the idea of evil just escapes. And I'm sure Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong and all these mass murderers of... I cut myself off, sorry. They probably had loyal pets. Completely unaware of the crimes against humanity and nature and God that their master was into, completely unconcerned about it. But anyhow, so they are of the earth. They're comfortable with the earth. They don't feel any anxiety because this is their home. But we do feel that anxiety because we know somehow things are not right, and that's the positive side of anxiety. And you know what it does? That positive side of anxiety, it keeps us from loving this world too much because we know the pain and the suffering and the striving and the hardship that's involved. It drives a wedge between us and the world because God wants that wedge between us and the world. He doesn't really want us making peace with the world. He wants us making peace with Him. He wants us to reconcile ourselves with Him. He doesn't want us reconciling ourselves with the world because the friendship with the world, as James says, is enmity towards God. And so we have this anxiety to keep us apart, to keep us at a distance from our existence, and to say, okay, you know, this is for the most part good, but there's something that just is not right here. I'm feeling alienated. I'm feeling anxious. It's just not right, and I'm just not at home here. Because you know why you feel it? Because this is not your home. This is not where you were intended to spend your eternity. God wants you. And He can't have you if you're falling in love with the world and everything that it offers. All the fame and all the glory and all this and all that and the career and this and that and just pouring yourself into that stuff. You're making friends with the world. You're making friends with your natural existence. And you're leaving the things of God behind. It's like, you know, like I mentioned in earlier sermons about the guy that builds a barn and stuffs all his longings in there and saying, oh, you know, I've got enough for many years. I can just take it easy and I'm at peace now. And God said, fool, your life will be demanded from you tonight. So God doesn't want us making. God doesn't want us comfortable here. God is that feeling of alienation and anxiety is a spur to help us to seek Him, to help us to knock, to help us to look, to help us to seek, to help us to ask, to help us to go further, to help us to go further than just thinking about earthly things, because we just know from experience in life that these earthly things can't cut it. And I'm, you know, no matter what I pile on top of myself, I still can't hide from God. I still can't achieve that feeling of peace that I so desire. That feeling of being accepted. That feeling of being completely loved. That feeling of being secure. That feeling that you'll never be left alone. The feeling that there's always something good around the next corner. We're not supposed to feel that way about this world. And we can't feel that way about this world. For brief moments, we can, sure. You know, we can lose ourselves in one thing or another. We can lose ourselves in entertainment, and we can lose ourselves and that's good for what it's worth. But that feeling of that alienation and that anxiety is a positive thing, because it's God speaking His word to us that you don't belong here. This is not your home. And like it says in Hebrews, where it lists all the people that sacrificed so much, gave up their lives, gave themselves over to people that sawed them in half, that they were looking for what? They were looking for a better home, because they knew it was out there. And they never made peace with the things of the world. They never made peace with the way this order works, because they were always looking for something better. They knew something was better was out there, and that something better was the coming of Christ, and that hope and that promise of eternal life. That's what the something better is. That's the teleology of this whole thing. That's where it all winds up. That's why the ministry is called Christ Only, because that's where everything winds up, in Christ only. So I'm not saying to be at war with the world, but I'm saying you can't make peace with it, because to make peace with it is to be a friend of it, and to be a friend of the world is to be at odds with God. This world values things that God does not. It exalts things that God does not. The currency of God, the currency of heaven, is hope, faith, and love, and the currency of the world is what? Power, money, and fame. So this anxiety we feel, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just telling us that we don't belong here. So look for something better. It's out there. And by faith, you'll find it. You got to believe it's there, because it is. It's meant to keep a distance between us and the world. It's meant to keep a little bit of friction between us and the world, so that we don't completely become at peace with it and become at peace with the finality of sin and death, but that we look towards eternal life. We look towards something better, a heavenly home, a heavenly place to lay our heads. Like Jesus says, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, because why? He has no home here. Why? Because this is not his home. There is no real place for him to lay his head here. He will lay his head and find his rest when he fulfills the will of God and finds himself sitting at the right hand of the throne. That's his home. That's his rightful place. He can never find peace here. Because this is not his place. This is a faraway place, as he says in one parable, where the master sends his servants to a faraway place, and where they murder the messengers until, and finally, you know, God sends the father sends his son, and they murder the son too. But it's not his home. God is our home. Heaven is our home. We know that. We know there's a better place. We're always talking about peace and love and no war and no this and no famine and no disease and no this. But yet we're the same people that speak of these things, you know, they value the things of the world. And the people who value the things of the world, this home will never be their home. The home that they're looking for. If you value the things of the world, if you value fame and you value fortune, you value money and you value power, then you're never going to find that home that you're looking for. They talk about peace, love, and all that stuff, but they're ignorant as to where to find it, because you're not going to find it here. There's just no way. It is in Christ that we find our home, that we find our peace. As Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you peace. Because this is a real peace. This is a peace that is eternal. That is forever. That's true peace. It's the peace of God. The peace of the world is what? I'm not really sure what kind of peace. maybe a momentary cessation of war and hostility. But whatever peace the earth experiences is short-lived. Because there's always war right around the corner. There's always friction. There's always aggression. There will always be. And through that reconciliation of Christ, where he shed his blood upon that tree for us, that is where we find our peace. That is where we find the answer to our anxiety. That is where we find the answer to our the question of alienation. And we won't have the true peace of God until we're on the other side of the Jordan. But we know it's there, and so that sustains us and that keeps us. And we know that Christ is there, and he gives us a measure of peace in this age. A glimpse of the joy of the next age. It is in him that we seek our home and our place of rest. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest, because Jesus is our rest. That is the rest of God. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is the rest of it. He is, I think, in Hebrews is where the writer of Hebrews, Paul, says, and they will never enter God's rest, because Jesus is God's rest. Jesus is God's peace. It's in Jesus that the human heart will find its proper and glorious destiny. There's nothing outside of his name that the human heart can latch onto that will satisfy the human soul. So we are indeed wanderers, looking for a home of our own. We are indeed aliens on this earth. And our anxiety and our feelings of alienation is just a reminder to us that we are aliens, that we are wanderers in search of that better place, and willing to put up with the slings and arrows and insults and venomous hatred, because we have our hearts set on something better. We know where we can find our rest. We know where we can find our peace. We know where we can find our home. We know where we can slough off the anxieties and the alienation that trouble us so now. And we will one day in Christ, as we join him at that banquet table. It will be pure joy. It will be sustained, uninterrupted, eternal joy. Jesus is our reconciliation. He is our peace with God. And it's and we find our home in him, and this home will not fade. And it will never pass away. For it's in God, where we will no longer be racked with worry and anxiety or existential angst, but we will have at last found our peace. We will at last have found the relief . As Jesus says with the pregnant woman, you know, it's all pain and misery until she gives birth, and then it's all joy. It's like this earth and in our walk with Christ on this earth is a lot of pain. It really is. you know, and it's glorious pain, and it's good pain sometimes, and it's a wonderful experience, and it's a wonderful adventure, but there's no denying that it's a troubling and painful thing sometimes. You know, just to talk about the pain of resisting sin. There was something somebody said recently. I don't know if it was on Facebook or something. And I had the perfect response. And I was gonna write that down, and it was gonna be in my mind. Well, take that. But you know, God spoke to me, and he said, "Eric, why don't you try resisting that temptation?" And I'll tell you what I did. But I, you know, it was not easy. It was not easy shutting my mouth. It was not easy to not write those words. And that is just a small thing. And that is how painful sin can be. And unless you try to resist it, you know nothing of it. So anyhow, it's just a little aside. But so, this whole thing with anxiety and alienation and worry and fretting and of course there's an element that is outside of this dimension that I'm speaking to, but there's also an element that anxiety is really, and our feelings of alienation are really telling us something. It's telling us a truth about ourselves, that we truly are alienated from who we should be, who we can be, who we are destined to be. It's an indication of our fall, and it's an indication of our redemption, and it's an indication of our salvation, and it's an indication of our glorification. So accept it as that. It's telling us something. It's telling you something. It's telling me something. Not to be friends with this world, and we can't make peace with it. I guess we can maybe, I don't know. I don't know if this would be right. Maybe we can be at peace with it, but not make peace with it, if that's possible. I mean, I don't want everybody going around making war against everybody because they being at peace with the world is enmity towards God, but that's not what God's asking us to do. He's just asking us to resist the sinful pleasures of life and the sowing to the flesh, but rather sow to the Spirit, because sowing to the flesh does what? It brings forth death. Sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life. Eternal life and peace. And so creation waits to be liberated from its bondage to decay. I mean, are those beautiful words from Paul or what? It's bondage creation. It's bondage to decay. I mean, what an excellent way of phrasing that. And that is the essence of this world, isn't it? It has a bondage to decay. It has a bondage to deterioration. And in Christ, it has been liberated from that. Not necessarily now, but you can say now. It is now, and it will be. Because Christ has already set the stage. Liberated from the bondage to decay. Excellent. I mean, what else can be said about the troubling nature of this world we live in? That's what death is. It's a bondage to decay. That's what it's all about. And Christ liberated God's entire creation from its bondage to decay, so that at one time at some time, it will be fulfilled, and the sons of God will be revealed, and everything will be where it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be. There will be no more bondage to decay, but there will be just be life, and death will be swallowed up by life, and there will be no more curse. There will be no more sin. There will be no more war making, there will be no more sowing to the flesh, but God will be all in all. And all those feelings that we those pent up feelings of frustration and anxiety and not belonging and insecurities, they shall be wiped away, because finally we will be where we're supposed to be. And we will be what we are supposed to be. So we can't be at peace, or however you want to put it, with the world, because the world is cunning and evil in many ways. And if we sow to that, we shall surely reap destruction. But we look to the author and the perfecter of our faith, and he is the one that brings us peace and reconciliation and you know, we're all like the prodigal son. We've all gone out from the Father, haven't we? We've all left the Father. But as soon as we leave, God is begging us, or not begging us, God is bidding us to return. And life will take some nasty turns, and life will do some nasty things before a lot of us will say, you know what? Here I am in a misery, and back home my Father is waiting for me. I'm going back home. I'm going home. Now, I remember once when I was a kid, I had just been arrested for whatever, and it was a couple weeks later. I had a basketball game, and I was out with my friends again. And we were in this guy's house, and he was a drug dealer, and there was drugs around, and I'm anxious, because really, you know, I don't belong here, you know. I just got into a bunch of trouble. Why am I here with these people, you know? And so, you know, I'm partying and everything. And then just this simple thought occurred to me. And I know it had to have been God. And because it spoke to me so clearly. And it said to me, Eric, get up and go home. There you'll find your safety and the peace that you're looking for. Get up and go home. And that's what I did. I just got up. And I went home. And it was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Eric, just get up and go home. Where you're loved. And where you'll be welcomed. And good things await you. Just get up and go home. And that's what God does to, you know, how God speaks to us. Just get up and go home. Take up your mat and go home. Because Christ is our home. Christ is our life. Christ is where we belong. Christ is our destiny. Christ is our resting point. Christ is our point of glorification. Christ is our life. Christ only. He bids us come home, and I shall prepare for you a fattened calf. I do not have condemnation awaiting you. God says, God speaks to us. I have glorification. I have peace, and I have wonderful things for you. I have a fattened calf for you. Come home. There's nothing out there for you. That's why you feel the way you do. Because I'm telling you, you don't belong out there. You belong here with me. And I want you here with me. I guess we all want those wonderful things of a world without suffering and pain and anxiety, and so few of us will find our way home. So few of us are really willing to put it all on the line in the hopes of that better place. So few of us are willing to be wanderers and aliens looking for a better home. And that home is in Christ. For those who truly want a world of peace and love, where there are no more tears or cries of distress or agony, that order is here, but not here yet. It's here through the resurrection of Christ. And it's to come as well. And it's for those who flee to Christ and plead his blood over their sins. It's for those who say, I don't belong here. Why do I feel like this? I'm going home. I'm heading home. Just like I got in my car and I went home, and all that worry about where I was and what if the police bust in and what if this happens and what if that happens, and then I'm really in big trouble then. I don't belong here. You know what? I'm going home. And that's what I did. And that's what coming to Christ is. I don't belong here. I'm going home. Where I am loved. Where I am welcome. So, if you have those feelings, which to me appear to be universal, of anxiety and alienation and just not quite fitting in, and well, you know what? You don't fit in. And you know what? This isn't your home. So those feelings are completely natural. Set your sights on home. We got to set our sights on Christ and Christ alone. He is our home. He is our destiny. He is our hope. He is our King. And He is a kingdom awaiting us. Okay, so I think that's about enough. Once again, I've gone over my intended amount of time. I don't know. These take too long. Nevertheless, I hope you enjoyed it, and apparently it was God's will, so we'll settle with that. And I hope you have a good week. I hope you had a good Memorial Day. I hope you tried to think of all of our fallen soldiers and the sacrifices that they made that we might live in a country that for all of its faults is still the best place on earth. A civilization that's extremely successful. And its success has come from God. And I hope we know that and appreciate that. So God bless. I love you all in Christ. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.